All right. How many even know what this is up on the screen? Okay. Yeah, it's a tree. But what's on the tree? And don't say. I know Tyler's sitting there going, bark. So, no, on the bark. No, what it is, it's a trail marker. I don't know if you've ever been out hiking. Maybe you've seen these, right? Trail markers, they show you where you're going. I remember I used to go to the Poconos all the time, and sometimes I'd go on like personal retreats where I'd go and camp out in the woods at a state park or something. And one time I went up there, and I was camping in the fall, so nobody was up there, and I went hiking. And it was an unfamiliar, first time I ever went on this trail. And as I started hiking, the woods were real thick, and the trail started getting less and less worn. So I wasn't really sure where I was going. And I couldn't see the sun and didn't know what direction the sun was or anything like that. And it was starting to get dark. I started to get nervous, right? So I'm walking around, and here I'm thinking I must be walking in circles because I'm not seeing anything that looks familiar. And then I looked up, and I saw a tree, and I saw this on the tree. And I was like, oh. And then I saw another. And then as I walked, I saw another. And you know what? Soon, the trail started to open up into a clearing, and I'm like, oh, I know where I was. And I was able to come out, and I'm rescued. I'm alive today because of a trail marker. Aren't you happy for trail markers? You know, sometimes these trail markers, they can be a lifesaver, right? But sometimes, even when we aren't lost, these kinds of trail markers reassure us that we're going in the right direction. They can give us comfort, right, as they assure us. And you know, wouldn't it be nice if there was something like this for our spiritual lives that could kind of put us on track or reassure us that we're going in the right way in our journey of following Jesus? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, you know, this is what we find as we return to Paul's letter to the Romans this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you can open up. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles in the seat back in front of you. If you need to turn to a page number, I think it's 944 or something like that, you can turn to that. But as you turn, I want to catch us up because it's been a couple weeks since we've been in Romans, tell you where we are. So Paul writes this letter, right, to these churches in Rome, okay, several churches in Rome, and he's unpacking the message of the gospel, right, salvation. You know, the good news of salvation and life in Jesus Christ alone. And this is a message that he's writing in this letter that's for these Roman believers in the churches. But you know, it's also for us as believers today, especially because the situation that the churches in Rome are facing are much like the world we're facing today. You see, these churches, they were made up of different people from different backgrounds trying to mesh together. For them, it was Jews and Gentiles trying to mesh together. For us, it's all different types of life, right, that we come from. We come with our own baggage and all these kinds of things. And he's writing this so that we can unite together. And also so that we can focus on the one thing that's important for us to know in life, the gospel. And then he was writing it also so that we can know this in an increasingly difficult world to live out our faith and to share Jesus in. And we can certainly agree that's our world today, right? And Paul begins in Romans then. He lays out the need for the gospel. He says, why do we need this good news? Well, we need this good news because we are far from God in and of ourselves. He says, no amount of good works, obedience, even religious pedigree can make a person right with God. Or have righteousness, right? In fact, in chapter 3, he says, all have sinned, and we have fallen short of God's glory, right? We're deserving. Death is the penalty for sin and separation from God. But because of God's great love for us, he says in chapter 5, Jesus, God in the flesh, right, comes and he dies for us while we are still sinners. While we're at our worst, God comes for us. Isn't that awesome? In fact, this Jesus, he lives the perfect life we could never live so that he can give that to us, gives his righteousness to us. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin so we don't have to pay it. And then he rose from the dead to defeat death forever, to give us life with him, a relationship with God forever. And it's for all who trust in Jesus Christ alone. And when we do this, Paul says in Romans, God sees us a new way. He sees us as holy. Remember the big word sanctified? He sees us as holy. But even though God sees us as holy, our life is still growing to look more holy. So we're in the process also of sanctification, where what's inside of us is starting to change our outside. And Paul talks about that. And that's why Paul shares, you know, it's difficult when we try to do that by ourselves, to grow ourselves. And he shares how God the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, enabling us to follow and grow in Jesus. And that's where he starts in chapter 8, right? And he tells us that the Spirit of God desires to make our desires us to make ourselves at home in Jesus. And we spoke of this in our last message, right? It's a place where we find freedom from condemnation, freedom from blame for sin. We find peace with God, and we find a bright future to live in. However, I don't know about you, but there's times where you don't always feel that. Tyler was talking about that this morning, wasn't he, at the youth retreat. And sometimes you have things in your life, and sometimes you just say, I don't know if I believe this. I'm looking at my life, I don't feel it. Maybe I'm not that. And we start to feel a little lost. Maybe we don't quite feel at home. Have you ever been there? Well, today, Paul then builds on this. And he says, yeah, this Holy Spirit that comes tells us to dwell, you know what else he does? He reminds us, kind of like a trail marker on a tree, that we belong to God. And this is one of the Holy Spirit's roles, is that we're not lost, but we're right where we need to be, belonging to God. So we're going to pick up in verse 12 this morning, and let's read what Paul has to say, and then we're going to kind of try to figure out exactly what he's saying with all of this. So verse 12 of Romans 8 says, then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also be glorified with him. And we're going to stop right there because there's a lot here. And I don't want to get too thick here because there's a lot jam-packed into these verses. So what I want to do is I want to go back through this and figure out really what Paul's talking about. So he begins in verse 12. He says, so then, okay? It's another way of saying therefore. Remember, every time we see therefore, we want to find out what it's there for. He's talking about, so we're dwelling with God. We're making ourselves at home, but we might not feel like it all the time. So I want to tell you, we are debtors. And he uses this word debtors. We owe something, right? But not to our flesh, not to our self-effort, right? Because that leads to death, remember? Living by our self-effort and our abilities leads to death. But if we've trusted Christ Jesus, placed our trust in him for salvation, we live instead by the Spirit, empowered by him, rather than be controlled by our sin. Just because we live by the Spirit doesn't mean that we're perfect. We still sin, don't we? However, what Paul is saying is that we can be assured that we belong to God because we battle with sin. And that's what he's saying here in the first couple of verses. One sure way you know you're a Christian, you know that you're a child of God, you know you belong to him, is that you battle with sin. It's the first proof that we're a believer. We pitch a battle or we struggle with our sin. Isn't that true? Although God declares us perfect and he will always see us as perfect because he sees us through Christ, we're a new creation in Jesus, we still sin, don't we? I don't know about you, but I sin. You want me to name some of them? Tough. I'm sure you have enough. Don't want to give you any ideas. But yeah, we all sin. We all still struggle with things. And like Tyler was saying, we have those that thing sometimes that we keep always doing. And we're like, why do I keep always doing this? And as long as we are on this earth, we still face the reality of our own sin in our lives. However, what Paul's getting at is those who belong to God, those who trust the gospel, We're at war with our sin. Another way of saying it is, we don't like it. Sin bothers us. Right? We desire to experience change in our lives. A change in our behavior, much like we have had this change in our heart. In short, we battle with sin. You know, Paul in chapter 7, he was saying, those things I don't want to do, I keep doing, and the things I don't want to do, I keep, you know, the things I want to do, I can't do. That's that battle, right? That battle that's at war. Well, you know, this is one sign we're a believer, is that sin bothers us. How many people say, well, yeah, when I sin, when I mess up, when I fail, it bothers me. Guess what? If it bothers you, that may be a sign you belong to God. Because our world, those that don't belong to God, sin doesn't bother. Think back to before you came to life in Christ. Did sin really bother you that much? Or is it kind of cool? You kind of thought, hey, look what happened. Now, sure, it bothers us and we may feel bad about the consequences of it. You know, like we go speeding and we get a ticket, we don't like it, and we say, I shouldn't have done that. But in the moment, you're like, if I don't get caught, man, I'll go 120 miles an hour down Prospect Ridge. That's cool. And our world that doesn't know Jesus, sin doesn't really bother. Sometimes we even boast in it. But the one who belongs to God is different. Sin ticks us off. We feel bothered. We struggle. We don't like it. Feel frustrated. We seek to see change in our lives. That's a sure sign we belong to God. And as the Holy Spirit takes root in us and us in Him, we even see victories over sin, don't we? You ever see a victory over sin, something in your life, and you said, man, I hate this about me. But then all of a sudden, maybe sometimes without even knowing it, we say, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I used to always want to go to this website, or I always wanted to lie to kind of cover myself. And now I'm trusting the truth, and I'm okay with it. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, that happened. I wasn't even trying. But as the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it starts to change us. And all of a sudden, we're saying, man, I'm sinning less in this. I'm starting to see some victories in my sin and some change for the better. This is what Paul's getting at in another one of his letters. He wrote to the churches in Philippi, and he tells them this. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, or even when I'm not looking, he's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what he's saying? Battle it. Battle what it means. Because your life won't always see it, so you're going to battle to believe what God says about you. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't that cool? We're battling, and God is changing us. Have you ever been there? Have you seen that? Have you seen God change you? And you're like, wow, I didn't know that happened. That's kind of cool. I mean, sure, we're not perfect, but as times go by, we realize I'm getting better. God's salvation is working itself out from our heart to where He makes us a new creation, believing we're brand new in Jesus. He's working from our heart to our actions, where we're looking more like Jesus. And best of all, God is the one producing this change in us. So here's what Paul's saying. Take heart, weary traveler. Our battle with sin, our distaste for it, our hunger for the things of God is a sign. A trail marker that we belong to God. And then Paul continues in verse 14. So he first of all talks about we don't like sin. And if you don't like sin, then you might belong to God. And he says, you know another sign you might belong to God? Verse 14, he says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now I want to talk about this for a minute because you see the word sons. Okay? If you're a female here today, do you have the question go, why is he just talking about sons? What about daughters? How come he's not saying we're sons and daughters? You know, Paul must be a real bad chauvinist. He just doesn't know a thing. He needs to get woke, right? What's wrong with Paul? Well, actually, I want to show you. Paul is actually the opposite of a chauvinist. He's actually a champion for equality right here by talking about that we are sons. Here's why. Because the point Paul's making is saying we're sons. He's making it in his culture of the day. In the Roman world, the preeminent child of any parent was the firstborn son. Did you know that? It was through the firstborn son that the heir came through. I mean, we see this all the way back to the days of Abraham, don't we? and it was this firstborn son that the family name carried on. It was the firstborn son that was the most pride, that you would take the most pride in, that you would be the closest to, that was the most important, that would get the bulk of the inheritance. It was the firstborn son. So Paul's writing this letter to the churches in Rome. He knows the churches in Rome are made up of males and females. So what he's saying here is he's saying, you know what it's like being a child of God? It's like God sees us and treats us just like we are all his firstborn son. Whether male or female, you know the position we have with God? Firstborn son. So in this, he's elevating the women in the church to not feel like, well, I'm a second-class citizen. Nope. To God, you know what you are? You are preeminent. You are the preeminent child that he has. Isn't that awesome? Just think about that for a second. So really, you know, Paul's not a chauvinist. He's ahead of his time. And he's saying, man, this is what it's about to be a son of God or a child of God. And he says, as a son, we're no longer slaves needing to fear, right? Needing to fear for our masters every time we do something wrong or anytime we do something right and we want his approval and we're sitting there going, is it okay? Is it okay? He says, you're not a slave. You know what you are? You're a son. You know what a dad does with his kids? He doesn't sit there waiting to come down on them. He takes their drawing that may look like a bunch of lines and they tell him, no, that's our dog. I'm putting it on the fridge. This is awesome. We don't have to be afraid to come to our dad. And that's what he's saying here. We don't have to come to him like a slave, but like our dad. In fact, he says that we cry out, Abba, Father. You know what Abba, Father, the whole thrust of this is? It's like, Daddy, you're not only my father, but you're my dad, which is a close relationship. We're close with him, and he's close with us. So Paul's saying, you know what? The Holy Spirit in us reminds us or assures us that we belong to God because we seek out our dad. When we come to salvation in Jesus, we enter a relationship with God. And it says where he adopts us. He adopts us as sons. Now, not in the sense that he adopts us and says, well, this is kind of my son in name, but really, I know he is. That no, God, when he adopts us as sons, he adopts us fully as sons. In fact, he says, in fact, we're as heirs with Christ, right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Do you know what that means? All the rights as being a son of God as Jesus has, we have. Isn't that wild? We have those rights and that position with God. So we are fully his, and he loves us. All that belongs to him is ours. All that he is for us. And the Holy Spirit reveals this relationship to us, even when we might not even realize it. We're drawn to our dad, aren't we? You may be scared, right? You may be in crisis. And you know what a believer does? A believer says, help me, God. Did you ever do that? God, help me. You know people that don't belong to Jesus, they don't do that. They turn everywhere else for help. And they try it with themselves, and maybe at the last resort, we'll do that. But when we belong to Jesus, when we belong to God, we go to him and we say, help me, Dad. Or maybe we come running to him when we're scared or when we're excited about something. In other words, we cry out, Daddy, I'm here. And this all happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts this in us and this draw, this where we're just want to be with the Father. So we're not really forcing anything. We just know that he's our dad and we come. You know, this is one of the things I've learned about God as my father from being a father myself. I love my girls and they're 18 and 16. They've been through the teenage years and all of that with all the headaches that is. I love being their dad and I've learned so much about what it's like to be a child of God from being a dad. As a matter of fact, Friday night we had, Rachel had Night to Shine. And those of you who know Rachel, she's not all that touchy-feely sometimes. She doesn't like to hug and all these things. But you know when she does? When she's a little nervous, when she's a little overwhelmed, and she's going somewhere and she's excited about something, It was funny. We were walking into the hair salon to get our hair done. And I'm just walking, and all of a sudden, I feel our hand grasp mine. And she's holding my hands. Or when we're walking into the dance and she's getting ready to meet her buddy, she holds my hand and holds it real tight, too. She squeezes. I mean, I'm a little bruised. But because she's sitting here, Dad, you're here, right? You're here, Dad. And that's what it is for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. We get to come to him and reach out to him because we know he provides safety and security. And he's the one who defines us, makes us who we are. And it's what we find with God, our dad. In the Holy Spirit, we find security in him. And that's another sign we belong to God. So you're wondering, and you might get down, and you say, well, I don't know if I belong to God. I feel lost. And we look up, and we see the first sign. And it says, oh, no, if you don't like sin, if you're battling with sin, you're on the right path. Then you walk a little further, and say, oh, I don't know if I'm there. And you look up, and you see another sign. And it says, Abba, Father. You say, that's my dad. I know I'm on the right place. And it's getting really great, isn't it? And Paul's like, yeah, and we get to cry out. We're fellow heirs for Christ. And then he throws this in. Look at the end of verse 17. He says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified, may also be glorified in him. Now, this might not be a feel-good sign, but we can be assured that we belong to God because we face suffering as a child of God. If you face suffering for your faith, that's a sign you're a child of God, that you belong to him. It's not that bad of a thing. You know, no pain, no gain type feel. Sometimes when we suffer, it's a sign. Here's what Peter says about this in one of his letters. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Isn't that cool? We can rejoice in it. Why? Because it's a sign that I'm a child of God, that I belong to him. You see, when God saves us, he makes us brand new in Jesus. You know what happens? We stand out. Whether we think we do or not, we stand out as his. And because of this, we're going to face opposition in this new life. We become the enemy of the evil one, a danger to his plans to keep others from Jesus. You see, Satan doesn't attack those that belong to him, those who don't belong to God. He doesn't attack them. Why waste your time? You know who Satan sends attacks to? Ones that know Jesus. Why? Because he wants to discourage us when we sin so that we feel like, I'm not worthy enough, I can't do this. And all of a sudden, we stop. Or he wants to make us afraid of sharing our faith because, oh, I might be mocked, or somebody might say something that I don't have the answer to. So we say, I'm not going to speak up for anything. Or he isolates us and makes us, you know, be all alone so that we feel lonely. And we say, I have nothing to offer anybody else. This is what Satan does. You know who he does that to? Not people that don't believe in God, not people that don't belong to God. He does it to those who belong to God because he wants to stop it. Because those who belong to God, others see Jesus in and through us. So do you want a great encouragement that you belong to God? Look at suffering you go through and say, you know what? This is our world and I go through suffering, but God is bigger than this. So it's okay. And the truth is, if we face opposition for following Jesus, we can be assured we belong with him. Now, we all face suffering differently. Maybe right now you're not facing all that much suffering, all that much opposition. You're saying, well, I must not. Well, it's coming. And it doesn't have to be like people threatening your life or anything like that. And it doesn't mean you have to go out and search for it. You know, don't like book a flight tomorrow to North Korea so you can go preach on a street corner so that you can be persecuted. Okay, that's not what Paul's talking about here. It's saying just normal, everyday living for Jesus. Keep following him. Keep falling in love with Jesus, battling our sin, growing as a child of your dad. And trust me, you will face opposition. You're going to suffer for knowing Jesus and belonging to him. But know this, Be encouraged, because that's a sign, it's a trail marker that we belong to God. Isn't that neat? What an assurance God gives us. So as we leave here this morning, first of all, don't leave here without knowing you belong to God. Don't leave here this morning with saying, oh, I may or I may not. You can be sure. Paul lays out how we're sure we belong to God, doesn't he? He says, if we trust in him, if we place our trust not in ourselves anymore, in our holiness, our ability to be right with God, but we trust in the life that Jesus lived for us. And we trust in the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us and the life that he wants to give us freely. When we place our trust in Jesus alone, we'll be saved. We'll belong to him. And the moment we do that, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes and takes residence in us to mark us so that we belong to him. And you can know that today. If you're not sure you belong to God, guess what? There's no hoops to jump through. There's no classes you need to take. You know what it is? It's you and God. It's you saying, God, I don't know that I belong to you, but I want to know I belong to you. And I know I don't measure up. I know I'm a sinner, but I place my trust in Jesus, and help me to give myself to you. And you can do that when we pray in just a moment. And then talk to me afterwards today. I'll be more than happy to talk with you. But you know, as we leave here this morning, and maybe you do belong to God, if we know nothing else, know this. The Spirit of God in us lives to assure us that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit's our cheerleader. And here's what Paul's saying. It's our cheerleader saying, you're doing it. You're going the right way. Just keep going, and I will keep changing you. I will keep working in you. I am here the whole time. You belong. You belong to God. And know that. There is nothing that can ever, 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 ever change that. That we belong to God. So as we go about our lives this week, you know what? Battle sin. Look at things in your life and be bothered by it. It's okay. Don't be condemned by it, because again, there's no condemnation. God still loves us. But say, you know what? I look at my life, and yeah, there aren't things that measure up to God. And you know what? I want to look more like Jesus. So battle that. Knowing it means you belong to him. And that he will grow you. And cling to your dad. Through the highs and lows that you face. Knowing that he's always with you. And then rejoice in any suffering you face this week, knowing that God is bigger and better than anything you'll ever face. As we walk with him, Jesus will be seen in and through us. So, let's walk with confidence this week. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us in saying, assured we belong to God. Walk with confidence. For when we're trusting in Jesus for salvation, we belong to him. Let's pray.